asking, I think we have a quorum, is that right? We have myself, Mr. Cannon, Mr. McDermott, and Mr. Ribeiro. So I'd like to call the meeting to order. Good to see everyone. I hope everyone's doing all right. Let's skip over item one and go to item two, approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion, Cannon.
I see Mr. Cannon. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the minutes? Trustee Ribeiro, for the record, seconded that. Any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor, Mr. Cannon?
Aye.
Ms. McDermott?
Aye.
Ms. Ribeiro?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well, so that item passes. Moving on to item three, administrative matters, survivorship affidavit, notarization, elimination due to COVID. Someone wants to present on this item?
Hi, this is Liam at Ambersley. This is just on the agenda because last year it was on the agenda as well. And we had it on SURF last week. Every year, those who are survivors of those that were once retirees have to submit an affidavit that has to be notarized saying that they did not remarry so that their benefit can continue. Last year, we had a lot of inquiries because of COVID. It was hard for most of these people are elderly to get out and have it notarized. So it was brought before the board last year to waive it and not require it to be notarized. We haven't gotten as many inquiries this year, but we did just get a couple. So we just wanted to have it on the agenda to see if you guys wanted to continue allowing it to not be notarized or if you just wanted it to be, you know, just for last year and stay as it is for this year.
Thanks, Leanna. Any questions here?
This is Carolyn Cohn. Just to let you know, SURF voted last week to go back to where we were before COVID and to require notarization. And the governor's order is allowing, remote notarization have expired. So it's my recommendation that we go back to requiring notarization.
Thank you, Attorney Cohn. Any thoughts here from the trustees?
Commissioner Ribeiro.
Trustee Ribeiro.
Can you refresh my memory? I know we had a discussion last year, but was this due to the fact that I guess people were not responding or something like that, if I remember correctly. And that's why we allow the notarization and probably an extension of time.
No, we mailed them out July 1st and they're due by August 30th. And then we even, contact them again, send certified mail. Their pension is not inactivated until November 1st. It was because we were receiving actually a lot of phone calls of them questioning whether or not they would have to go and get it notarized, either by them or like by, one of their children or something who was concerned about it because they weren't leaving the house. Again, this year we haven't gotten as many inquiries, but we have gotten just a couple.
Can I ask a question? I think I know the answer to this, but it is, would we be treading on any shaky ground if we implemented some type of an age requirement for the waiver of the notarization? I mean, because in all likelihood, an 85-year-old widow is probably not going to get remarried, and it makes it substantially more difficult for an elderly person to get out of the house and be able to get this notarized. Some of these people, unfortunately, might be dealing with diminished ability to be able to go out and function. I wouldn't want to see them not receive their benefits in that situation. Whereas somebody who, say, it's a contrast, someone, a widow of 50 years old, would have more likelihood of mobility and also the potential of a remarriage. Is there anything we could do like that? Or is that kind of hitting the hornet's nest?
This is Carolyn Cohn. I do understand what you're saying, Trustee McDermott. I think we would be treading. I mean, we could look at the whole notary's requirement for an affidavit as a whole between now and the next meeting, you know, if people feel that's not necessary.
I mean, if I think this is not too big of a thing, right? People get notarizations all the time. And given that the vaccine is available, that even wearing masks and going into indoor spaces where you can socially distance when you're notarizing, I think that the situation today is much, much different than when we originally voted on this. And it was very understandable that we originally voted to waive it, but it seems just appropriate that we would go back to the way that things were before.
This is Leanna. I would also like to add, we also have and do allow, like if they have a power of attorney on file with us, then the power of attorney also has been allowed to be the one to go and get it notarized for them.
Thank you, Leanna. That actually addresses a big part of my concern. So that's fair.
Any other thoughts here? Attorney Cohn, do we need to vote on this?
We should vote on this, yes. I think we should.
So is there a motion here? My sense is an appropriate motion would be to eliminate the notarization waiver and go back to how it was done before.
So I'll make a motion to return the notarization of the affidavit to pre-COVID procedures.
Is there a second?
Second.
So there was a motion made by Trustee McDermott and seconded by Trustee Ribeiro. Any discussion? All those in favor, Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
And I am a yes as well, so that item passes. Noting for the record, item 4, age annuity retirement information only for the retirement of Chief Reyes, Mark O'Neill, Milton Jackson, Robert Koval, Clayton House, Kevin O'Neill, Sal Consiglio, Michael Miller, and Scott Longyear. Thank you to all those individuals for the service. Any comments on this item before we move to item 5?
Yes, Trustee Ribeiro.
Go ahead.
Under item 4, letter B, looks like it might be a typo. It has the retired 1997, and 0 is missing off of the hired year.
I'll have my staff member fix that.
Thank you.
Nice catch, Trustee Ribeiro. Trustee Cannon, did you have a comment?
No.
Looked like you were waving your hand. No. Okay. All right, moving on to item 5, age annuity retirement and service-connected disability. Jeffrey Brabham. And this item is also information only or no?
No, that needs to be put on. Yes, this is Carolyn Cohn. No, this is a service-connected disability.
My apologies. Are there questions on this item that we need to... any questions on this item? No?
Trustee Ribeiro, I move to accept the age annuity retirement and service-connected disability for Jeffrey Brabham.
Is there a second?
Second, Cannon.
Trustee Cannon seconds. Any discussion? All those in favor, Trustee Ribeiro?
Yes.
Trustee Cannon?
Yes.
Trustee McDermott?
Yes.
And I am a yes as well. Item 6, death after retirement information only, Francis Lyons, Richard Lynch, and Chief Grant. I'd entertain a motion, I ask the trustees and attendees to have a moment of silence here. Thank you. Does anybody have any comments? And if I may, I just might start myself by saying that I knew Chief Grant, and he was a firefighter through and through, and I think that made him someone that was deeply admired by so many of the firefighters in the force. And even to his last days, he was always talking about the fire department, calling me and giving me some thoughts about things. And he would be very much missed in the fire department and the city.
Like to second that, Mayor. He was a legend, plain and simple, a legend.
Thank you. Any other comments before we move on to item 7? Item 7, payment of the bills. Is there a motion to approve payment of the bills?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Cannon made the motion. Ms. Rivera seconded. Any discussion on payment of the bills? Any discussion? All right, Mr. Cannon, how do you vote?
Yes.
Ms. Rivera?
Yes.
Mr. McDermott?
Yes.
And I am a yes. Moving back to item 1, investment report, I'll hand it over to Raymond James.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi, good morning. Leanna, if you could put up the report, please. Okay, so again, good morning, everybody. This is a report for the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. It's a preliminary report. Have some numbers coming in on our private investments, which will take about another 2 months. And then through the audit process and the actuarial process, we'll have finalized numbers. But this report, without that, is a very good number and a very good year. So if you look at the total fund, I'm going to concentrate on, you know, two or three different columns this morning and breeze through this. It's obviously a pretty quick meeting. So if you look over for the total fund for the fiscal year to date, 31.61% preliminarily. So unbelievable number. Very good. I'll get into the in a number of pages going forward. I'll talk about that in relativity to other funds of the same size. So if you go below that, you look at our domestic domestic equities, we'll go down to Sizer, $45 million has really, really grown. So year to date up 21%, outperforming the Russell 1000. And you can see their fiscal year to date number is also very good, about 550 basis points, give or take 560 basis points above their bogey. So very good performance there. Atalanta, large cap core, still a new manager to us, but given $10 million to them, and it's worth 10.8 roughly. Aristotle, large cap value out of Boston, very good numbers also. Very similar type of portfolio to Sizer. And you can see there, great performance on the fiscal year to date, outperforming as well as the 1 year number. And if you go across to the inception, about double what their benchmark is. Below that, you have Cook and Beeler, mid cap value, big portfolio again in that space. Great numbers. The absolute numbers, fantastic. The relative numbers versus their peers are very, very close. So year to date, down a little bit, but on the fiscal year to date, right in line with what they were hired to do. Mutual of America, below that. And then again, just strong numbers across the board as far as absolute returns. A little under their index, but pretty close in line. Down to our small caps. Small caps, great fiscal year. Pulled back a little bit this year in the first couple months of this year. And they're coming back in the second quarter a little stronger. But if you look at the fiscals, Clearbridge, 52%. Right in line. Cook and Beeler on the small cap value side, value has been a little bit more of a challenge. So you can see down 2% for the month. Year to date, underperforming versus the Russell 2000 value. But their numbers on the 2 year number and the long term numbers are still very strong above their consensus or their 2000 value benchmark. Next page. Channing again in the small cap space. Tough quarter, year to date below their index. But if you look at the 1 year number, 63%, still it's hard to complain about a number like that. And if you look at their two and inception numbers in line with what they're hired to do. On the international side, we have WCM, our biggest manager by far in the international space, crushing it 3 months, year to date, all the way across the board. If you look at the fiscal year number, great numbers. If you look across to the inception number, 1,000 basis points plus over their index. And then you have Lazard. We spoke about Lazard. Lazard was going to be at this meeting. We talked about it last meeting. However, I was late to the game getting them on the agenda. They weren't on the new items for last month's meeting. So what I'd like to do now is put them on the agenda for a review at our next meeting. They did send us some information, but if we could put them on the agenda for next meeting, that would be great. They'll do a Zoom presentation. And we'll get into, you know, maybe the dynamics of how we're going to do that as far as searching for another international manager also. So we could do Lazard next month and then maybe two managers the following month. That's up to the board. We can discuss that when I finish the report. On the fixed income side, you're going to see on the fiscal side, muted returns. You know, the market on the fixed income side has been, you know, volatile. And you could see on the front end of those numbers, the year-to-date numbers have been a challenge, but the three-month numbers are very good. If you look at the 10-year bond, you've seen that rates have really come down pretty sharply in the last couple of months, down from about 170 on the 10-year down to about 126 today. So 1.26% on the 10-year. So inverse relationship. When rates go down, bond managers tend to do well. Rates go up, they tend to struggle. So it's an important piece of the portfolio. And again, it's a ballast to the rest of the portfolio, especially the equities. But on to cash, we have right now there's another line item of cash, which is our private investments. Right now, we're sitting on about $32 million, give or take, in cash. So back to that conversation about international, where we do have some room with the investment policy statement. After paying some benefits and having reserves, we'll probably look into, with your approval, put about $10 million to work in the next couple months. And then with the ARC coming in towards the end of the year, we'll have plenty of money to redeploy capital into a couple different parts of the market. So that'll be on the next few meetings as far as conversation. I'm not going to go through each fixed income manager. It's pretty straightforward. I'm not sure. We have to probably go down a few pages, Leanna, but let's see what's on the next page. Alkyon, our most liquid hedge fund in the portfolio. It's priced on a monthly basis, and you can see those numbers are challenged year to date, but their loan to numbers are fantastic, 21.29% versus 5.87. So I'm going to page forward to a couple different slides here. I'll tell you when to stop, Leanna, if you want to kind of move in that direction. This is all asset allocation and, you know, percentages of where the money is. A couple more. That talks about, if you just stop on this one, if you go back for 1 second, you can see that on the top blue line, we have more exposure to equities right now, and that's basically just gains in the equity market. So we'll be continuing to look at the asset allocation and make sure that we have enough money in fixed income. We're right at the border right now. We're actually a tiny bit below, but that's by design. You know, our team has talked about the fact that we still believe that rates will go higher in the intermediate term. So that's going to be, again, a challenge for fixed income. So we do need exposure, but we're not overweight in any way in that category. You want to go down again? A couple more. Okay, so this is a good slide. If you look at the one-year number, which is the fiscal year-to-date number, now this is a graph that talks about public pension funds above $250 million. And this is a snapshot of about 75 different pension funds across the nation. If you look at that one-year number, the top 5% were at that 33% return. So if you look down to where it says New Haven Police and Fire total composite, and you have that 10 in parentheses, we're in the top 10% in the nation on the fiscal year number preliminarily. So really, really great returns as far as that's concerned. If you look over to where it says 2020, which would be a two-year number rolling, we were at 19.53, which just puts us in the top 2% in that category. So through the help of the board and the help of our great managers on the active side, we really had a fantastic year, even with some resets on the private side, which makes up about 25% of the portfolio. We're still going to be pretty close to that number. So congratulations to you folks and the fund on a relative basis across the nation with your peers. I think that's it. You can go down one more. I don't think anything else is. So this is there's another page on here. That's it right there. So if you look at that, that's a spattering of all the different funds I just talked about. So you want to be on the top half of those lines. So we're in the top right-hand side. So a little bit riskier because of our equity allocation and our low exposure to fixed income. But if you look at the right-hand side, the two-year number, dead center on that cross, which again is about evenly even distribution of risk compared to everyone else. And on the top side is the return. So that's where you want to be, preferably top left-hand side, but that's low risk, highest return. But obviously we need to take exposure to riskier assets than just cash and fixed income. So if there's any questions on this report, I'll answer them. Otherwise we'll get into some brief market talk. It's a little bit repetitive, but I'll highlight some areas that we're looking at.
Questions for Dave? Mr. Camp?
Dave, can we go back to chart previous to this one, Leanna? I think it's where we had the top 10. So, Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. 31.61 is our fiscal year end return?
Correct.
That's phenomenal. We earned 31%. On our money over the last fiscal year?
Yes, that's what it says. That's a good number.
That's outstanding.
We do that for a couple of years. We'll be in pretty good shape. It's been a phenomenal number. Again, it's the best number I've seen in going on 25 years in a pension portfolio. Again, it's been a strong showing across the nation, but we just tend to be hitting on all cylinders with some of our investments. So that's done well.
It's top 10 in the country percentile.
In this sampling group, correct.
Can you give me some comparables? Who compares in that?
That's every fund. It's done by an Investor Matrix, which is it's a system, basically like a reporting system that we use, like Paris. And it's a sampling of those give or take 76 funds across the nation that are greater than 250 million. So mostly public service. You're looking at police, fire, city employees for the most part. Most teachers are in state plans. So it's a similar type of, this is all public stuff. So it's a similar type of composite.
That's great. And if you look over to the right, it says 19.53 over the last two fiscal years?
Average.
You're doing a great job, buddy. Congratulations to this board. That's outstanding.
Thank you. Hopefully it continues.
Thanks for that clarification. I'm very, very ecstatic about that. Can you tell me, we go back to Lazard, and I'm sorry to jump all over the place, but Lazard, you said you wanted to get them in today, but I noticed their numbers are below the index all the way back to the inception. Mm-hmm. Is this a company about to put on watch, or you're just bringing them in to ask questions?
Well, they've been on watch. We talked about that last meeting. So it's a review to tell their story. They're a different manager than WCM. They're both international managers. WCM is more of a growth manager. So Value has had a very good, a very challenging ride over the last number of years. However, with that said, their relative performance versus their index is still soft. So we want to have them in here for a quick 10 minutes, 15 minutes to hear their story. It could be a combination of, hey, we're going to move in a different direction, or it could be a situation where they explain to us why there's so much value in that portfolio right now that we maybe should be adding to the value side of international versus growth. So I want to hear what they say. And again, we want to look at the possibility of a search with other managers within international. So we have some comparisons on what's out there also. So it's really up to the board on, how much you want to take on in a given meeting as far as presentations. And I know Carolyn, you could chime in here when it comes to the rules of the game here. We are in a situation, right, with the bylaws that we need three presenters in a given asset class.
That's correct. Under the code of conduct, we need three presenters.
Okay. And that could be an incumbent plus two if we're looking to either add or eliminate.
Of course, yes.
So that's where we're at with that. So we're going to, we'll listen to them next month, and then we'll digest a little bit. I'll make my comments. And then for the following month, after we'll be doing a search right now, our team, for some candidates. We'll mention those candidates at the next meeting, and then we'll bring them in for a presentation, maybe in person or definitely through Zoom for the September meeting, if that's what the board would agree to.
This is Trustee Cannon again. I know how hard it is to get us all together sometimes when we have a full, today's a light meeting as far as information in the meeting, but to get three companies to come in and present, that's really long. I know we did that, you know, not with COVID, but prior to COVID, it takes a long time. Is there any other way we can go about it? Is there any way you could interview them and then give us a summary? And then if we want to go further, we bring them in?
Well, that's at the, you know, of course. I mean, there's ways in which that I can call these people to the table. They can do a presentation taped with, you know, my team asking questions. You could even have questions. We could send the deck to you guys. You could take a look at it, maybe have some prepared questions. I could also interview them with my questions. We could provide a link to the board possibly ahead of time. And you could take a look at those presentations. I've seen it done in every different way when it comes to these pensions. So in the essence of time, that might be a situation where we could put that together so that you have the ability to read that all before we get to the meeting. And if there's any additional questions, I can answer those, and then we can make a decision. Or, you know, really have to limit their time. You know, you have to say we can get the information or the deck ahead of time, give them literally 10 minutes to 15 minutes for a brief overview, and then moving on. So you're still looking at, you know, probably an hour, but not like the old days where you can run into, you know, hours on end with 30, 40 minute presentations. That's the pleasure of the board. So whatever you're comfortable with.
Trustee Kennedy, Carolyn, is that something that's allowed?
Yes, that would be fine. You just have to have three choices. This is Carolyn.
Trustee Ken, I'm sorry, I'm going to come off this in a second if anybody else has any questions. Right now, I don't want to rock the boat. You're doing so great, Dave, and this board. So, I mean, other than Lazard below the index, I don't see too much that you want to move around. But I know that with us being up, are up on a lot of funds, our allocations may have shifted. Do we have to move anything because of our allocation?
No, we're okay right now. What I would recommend, though, and again, it's because, you know, we did get that question from Trustee Cousins. You know, we haven't really seen a lot of managers in the last, you know, 6 to 9 months. That's somewhat by design because things are working. You know, it's a rare situation where a lot of stuff's hitting on all cylinders. So we hired good people. They're doing a good job. It's also a situation where you have COVID. So it's been more and more challenging to get people to sit at a table or on a Zoom meeting for hours on end. Everybody's got things to do. So with that said, if we do get that ARC money coming in towards the end of the year, and we're trying to expedite these purchases, what I would recommend and my team would recommend is dispersing that money into passive investments in line with the asset allocation in the IPS. So for example, if we want to add to a large cap core, we go out and find an index or an ETF that has exposure to that, very inexpensive, very cheap to purchase, and we allocate that way. This way we're fully invested. We're on the passive side, but while we're fully invested, we take a look at doing searches for active managers in that class. So we're not missing out on the boat. Now, with that said, not that timing's everything, but it helps. If you look at, and I'm going to talk about that in the next part of the meeting, but we're going into a very seasonally soft part of the market. If you look back over the last 30 years, very little money has been made towards the end of July to the end of October, virtually none. So you'd be like, why are we in the market at all? But you need exposure. Things change. And we're still very bullish on equities. But we're not really missing out right now by not having that money to invest. I think we're in a good spot right now. When it comes in, we'll add, but I don't think we're going to miss much in the next couple months, in my opinion, when it comes to raging bull markets. I think we're in a good spot. I don't see anything negative on the horizon. We'll get into that. But I don't think we're going to miss out on a super run in any way.
Great. Thank you.
Can we go to the market talk? Unless anyone else wants to, any comments? I'll be brief. We just kind of touched on a lot of different stuff. So it's first page is repetitive. I'm going to just go through some themes here. We're going to see some volatility. We saw that last week. We had a big move to the downside, followed by a big move to the upside. The question is why? You got the Delta variant. Everyone knows that. It's going to cause some volatility. Everyone's trying to figure that out literally on a daily basis. If you look at the top right-hand side, strong markets, 12-month returns, just like our fund across the board, very, very, very strong. If you look at the bottom, it talks about breadth of the market. It's better. It's healthier. We have a lot of different industries doing very, very well. So that's good. You want that. You don't want just one single industry like tech going up and everything else kind of faltering. And there's a good balance here between growth and value. And we'll get into that in the next couple of pages. Do you want a page four? Talks about some of the other reasons why things are looking good going forward, at least in the near term. We want to go back one more. Sorry. These are touchy slides. One more back, Leanna, please. Actually, two more back.
All right, I thought you said page four.
No, sorry. We'll do one at a time. There you go. That's good. So some of the things that affect markets, obviously interest rates, Federal Reserve were on the agenda for Wednesday of this week. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday. And Chairman Powell talked about a very accommodative stance. Rates are going nowhere fast. Interest rates are low. Fed's very accommodative. That's a good sign for equities. And as you can see, just when everyone thought the market was going to fall apart and fixed income and inflation was on the very near term horizon, rates did the complete opposite. So they went straight down. Another good sign for not only equities in general, but a good sign for higher P equities like technology, which are sensitive to interest rates. Below that, credit spreads. Nothing we need to get into in much detail, but credit spreads are a risk indicator. It's the riskiness of an individual equity on the credit side. So if you look at in 2008, 2009, when things got really, really ugly, or even back, if you look at 420 on that chart, the beginning of COVID, when credit spreads blow out, it means that there's a lot of risk in the market. As you can see, that's not the case in this situation. Next page. Earnings estimates, fundamentals. It's not just the fact that, you know, rates are low, and it's not just the fact that we're coming out of COVID. It's the fact that earnings are strong. Balance sheets are great. So that's a good sign. We're happy about that. And on top of it, not only are estimates strong, but they're still at a relatively inexpensive price of 21 times forward PE multiples, which historically is a good thing. Next page. This is technical. This is charts and graphs. Some people manage money fundamentally by looking at, you know, what a company does and what they earn and all that. Some people don't even look at that. They look at charts and graphs and they plot things. So technical analysis is important along with fundamental. And on a technical basis, we're within a good range right here, a little bit on the high side, but you don't want to be below any of those major lines. We're above the green line, which is a good thing. So technically, we're still in good shape, like the rest of the conversation we've had. Next page. Market breadth. This is, hey, you know, in a given day, and you know, my team will talk about that on a given day. Hey, one day Ford and GE are working on the value side. The next day it's Facebook and Microsoft and Apple. So we're getting this reopening trade, and then we're getting the opposite of that. So it's good. We're getting breadth in all parts of the market. So we have exposure to both growth and value in almost every asset class. So you know, they kind of work in conjunction at times, but they definitely hedge each other and when they're moving in different directions. You don't want everything moving in the same direction, because when they go down, that's not good. So we have a little bit of a balance there. And in the next page, I'll wrap this up. What I just talked about, which is growth versus value, reopening stocks versus pandemic winners. The following page is about small caps. And then lastly, talks about global equities, Lazard, WCM, et cetera. And the moral to this story is this. We are still the most bullish on U.S. equities. Okay, so global equities we like, but we're the most bullish on U.S. equities. But we own a lot of them, and you need to balance it out. So versus, you know, because of our IPS and our asset allocation, we need exposure outside the United States. There's still risk out there because of, obviously, these variants, but we have some room within our allocations, and we want to add to them. So again, more bullish on U.S. equities, but we need to have exposure to global. And we're going to try to hopefully buy on weakness. We've been saying that along the line for the last 7 months, and we continue to believe that on these strong, quick pullbacks that we're buyers at those times. And we'll be doing that hopefully throughout the rest of the year. So that's the end of that conversation as far as today's presentation. If you have any questions, that's great. I would like to, Leanna, just make sure that that is on the agenda for next month, the Lazard presentation. I'm not sure what job to do, but if you could make sure that's on there, that'd be great.
Yes, just send me the contact people's information so I can add them to the Zoom whenever you get it in the next couple of weeks.
Got it. Any other questions? So thank you very much for your business. It's greatly appreciated, and we'll see you in 30 days.
Dave, I'd just like to add on to what Pat said. Really, really excellent job by you and Derek. We appreciate your hard work on this.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Mr. Cannon made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. McDermott made the second. All those in favor, Mr. Cannon?
Yes.
Mr. McDermott?
Yes.
Ms. Ribeiro? Yes. And I am a yes. I'll see you all soon. Take care.
Have a great day, everyone.
Yeah, I hope it's good.